Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. I always enjoy talking to our next guest because we usually end up feeling just really good about the good that he does. And that is Michael Orr, of course, a former Titan, former Raven, and obviously known for the Blind Side, played at Ole Miss. Michael joins us now to talk about the 10th anniversary of the Orr Foundation and all the good that he's been doing. Michael, how the heck are you? Good to talk to you again.
Hey, great talking to you guys again. Man, it's always fun. It's a pleasure for me, and you know, everything's going great. You know, I always have fun with you guys. So, yeah, it's all season of football, man, and everybody depressed, and I can get back to head towards getting back in shape and getting ready for the next year and enjoying some football. But all is well. All is well. Hope wishing the same for you guys.
Yeah, can you believe it's been 10 years since you started this journey with the Orr Foundation and all of the great things that you've been doing, the one-on-one mentorship, life skills development, all the events that you have had through that 10 years? It's crazy how time flies.
It is. When you're getting the job done, you're having fun with it. And, man, you talk about it all the time, but, man, time isn't waiting on us. Time and waiting on anybody. That's why I always try to make it important to let people know. Don't disrespect time, man, because it goes by so fast. And when you respect it, when you honor it, when you do what you're supposed to do, you know, everything else comes to itself. But time is the most important thing. And the ones who respect it and really do what they need to do within time, things happen for you.
You have always been one to give back, and I always ask this question to, you know, people like you. You could have very easily had your NFL career, taken the money, gone, done your own thing, not worried about it, and been fine, but you wanted to give back. You know your story and others that have stories similar to yours, and so it was very important for you to give back. So why is that? Why does that continue to be your motivation, Michael, as you help people day in and day out?
Well, I mean, the young kids who are in the situations that I grew up in, I just want them to have a fair shot. And the things that I had to go through, the struggles, and to not have a mentor, to not have anyone to look up to as a kid, to, always looking on the outside of my wherever I was stand for a mentor or a role model. And I broke that cycle for my kids, and I want those kids to break the cycle so they won't have to look for on the outside. They can look within and get the structure and get the discipline, consistency, and the life skills that they need from within their home. For their kids and for them to break the cycle for the generations coming up behind them, and just giving them an opportunity and to not have to, you know, look on the outside for ideas and spark things in their mind so that the young people, man, can have a brighter future. So, you know, for me, it was always a constant battle because I was always questioning myself and doubting myself if I was doing the right thing, because I didn't have anything to model myself after as when I started this journey when I was probably about 11, 12 years old. So, you know, that's why I do it, because I want to make it easier on someone else mentally. And, you know, I know that makes this world a better place, the environment. And it the statistics and the stats go down as far as the education, the dropping out of school, the violence, everything that you can negative that you can think of, it goes down when you provide a young person with the education tools, with someone that they can talk to, a mentorship program, and different things of that nature. So I'm just trying to do my part, and the platform that I was given and the resources that I was given, you know, it's important to me that, you know, that I continue to reach back out.
We're talking to Michael Orr, Super Bowl champion on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And Michael, just seeing the foundation, reading about it and your work, how much of this is gratifying to you and helps you kind of heal yourself because of the journey you had starting out as a kid?
It's very important. I mean, that's great. You know, healing can, you know, continue to, because It's a lot. It's a lot there, especially with me. So, you know, it's very important for me. You know, it's gratifying for me. Gives me gratitude, and just to see the young kids to know that you're a very vital and important piece to them being successful. And you know, I was just talking to some parents last night, some of the kids who's in the organization, and you know, they just appreciate the opportunity. And you know, it's so many other kids out there. We just got to continue to raise that awareness to make this thing continue to grow and grow legs and, you know, get bigger than what it's been the first 10 years because, you know, it gives me, you know, a sense of I'm doing the right thing. And, you know, it's hard, but you see the kids continue to grow year in and year out and getting ready to go to college and different things, and it makes you work even harder and just keeps you going, to be honest.
You know, Michael, you said three words which I think are so powerful. Break the cycle. Break the cycle. I mean, for stop the, you know, the part where fathers aren't involved and everything like that. Man, I think those three words, what you spoke a minute ago, break the cycle, about what you're doing is beyond powerful, Michael.
Yeah, we did a thing with the NFL alumni last couple weeks ago with fathers. You know, you don't know how meaningful. You know, when I had my first son, I didn't know. I thought that I didn't know anything about being a father. You know, I was like, man, what am I gonna tell this kid, or how am I gonna raise it? I don't know.
Right.
But you have every tool that you need. You just have no idea how much you have inside you to give back to your kids. And so, you know, that just being present is that does wonders, because you can go ask a question. Obviously, you've been there, or you can see if what your kid's doing wrong, or whatever that may be. Just the presence alone does wonders. So, you know, it's incredible. Don't ever think that you don't have the answers, because you have the answers as a father and a mentor, whatever it is, for a young person.
I love it. Michael Orr is with us. Michael, let's talk a little football now. Why? And you played left tackle at a high level and tackle in the NFL at a high level. Why is it when a tackle has a bad game or two, we always say, wow, we got to put him at guard. We got to put him at guard now. I don't think people realize that's a whole tackle and guard is a whole different world, right?
Two different. Man, it's a – jeez, I used to – tease the guards and the centers, man. You guys got it easy in there, man. Just, hey, get off my back. You know, they're just playing around in the room. But, you know, that tackle, man, it's a different mindset. It's a different mindset. I know we're talking about Will Campbell after the Super Bowl and things like that. The one thing he has a mental toughness. But the thing is, man, I've been watching that closely. And you know, when I've been hearing a lot, the guy saying, man, he got his ass kicked.
Right.
And nobody gets their ass kicked like an offensive lineman, because you have to be physical. You actually have to kick an offensive lineman's ass because they're that tough, right? So the thing about it is, you know, it comes down to technique. You got to look at everything on the offensive line. When a tackle gives up a sack, I look at the quarterback. I see what the quarterback did wrong. Was he where he needed to be? And I remember playing in the Super Bowl against the Broncos, and you know, the right tackle, we gave up, sacks was given up. But what people don't understand is everybody have to do their job from the running backs, if they're chipping, if they're supposed to be on the outside shoulder of that pass rusher. If you go inside and you're supposed to be on the outside shoulder of that pass rusher, you're giving an edge to that guy. So, you know, it's different. It's a lot of different things that comes down to a tackle or an offensive lineman that's giving up a sack. And, you know, I like what Vrabel said about, you know, we're keeping them at keeping them at tackle. And you know, sacks are a team thing. That's a offense thing. It's not a lineman thing if that lineman has the ability. And when that lineman can play free, when everybody else understands where the quarterback should be, if I'm running my routes full speed, if I'm where I need to be, if I'm chipping correctly and not just bouncing off a guy, knocking a guy over here and off the cast of the offensive lineman. You know, it's when you break these things down, technique, and make it as a whole, when that wide receiver knows, hey, this is important, and everybody, when that back foot plants on the ground for that quarterback, the ball needs to be gone. You know, that kind of stuff saves you sacks. And the best I've seen do it is Peyton Manning. You know, he was the best at it. He clammed the pockets. He didn't need – I'm going to go on and on about this stuff, but, you know.
Keep going, baby.
Leave it at it. It's a team offense thing. And like I said, the best I ever seen do it was Peyton Manning. He could have played with some of these good tackles at BGA or, you know, in high school around here, man. So, you know, that's how great he did it. When you take it that serious, you know, everybody has – it has to be serious to everybody. So, the great ones, they understand that. So, it's a team thing. And when everybody gets on that board, on the same page right there, you know, it goes a long way for the offense. It makes everybody's job easier.
We're talking to Michael Orr. How fun was the playoff run for you watching your Rebels get to the college football playoff and go on that run? I know they came up a little bit short, but I know you had to enjoy it.
I was getting ready to get my tickets and everything, man. But as I was watching the game, the semi game, I started hearing a little bias, you know, the Hurricanes and all this. I kind of said, oh, my God, I don't think we're going to be going to the national championship game. They want to get the Hurricanes in there. But, you know, that's a special thing, man. School that you went to, college football, I love it. And just to see them go on that type of run, it's, you know, that hadn't happened in forever. But, you know, I don't think it would have happened this year. And, you know, that's what I love about the college football, the playoffs now, the NIL stuff. I like those parts about it because it kind of even everything back out. I can remember, you know, before I went to college, and I love football. You watched every school around the country. If it was a Big 12, the Big 10 or the Pac-12 or ACC, you watched every team. And as we got closer, when I was in school and afterwards, I only watched the SEC because we had all the talent. You know, Alabama was ruling things, LSU, you know, so you mainly watch the SEC and you forgot about other players and you didn't get a chance to watch the other great players around the country. So, you know, now you get the chance to see what other teams have, the dynamic players that are on the West Coast or, you know, all the way, you know, up north. And, you know, that's the greatest thing about college sports now, but, you know, I really enjoy the playoffs and, you know, all of football. Like I said, it's, you know, once that a couple weeks before the Super Bowl, man, you just start to get down and like, man, football season's coming to an end. And there's not really a better sport out there.
There's not. Michael, did you, I know you won a Super Bowl with John Harbaugh, but are you excited to see what he could do for the Giants in New York? I know you did a lot with him in Baltimore as your coach, but now he's got a new adventure in New York. How do you think he'll do?
He'll do well. He's a leader. He's humble, and he relates to all the players. And you know he'll have the respect of those guys right away. And one thing he did, man, he put a very, very good staff together. I think got a great offensive line. I think the offensive line coach was a head coach somewhere. He brought some. Bill Callahan, son, we were with the Titans. He has a great coaching staff he put together on top of a well put together roster as well. Those guys have some good defensive, a good defense. And, the offensive line, you know, they were getting better. Andrew Thomas came back. Quarterback Jackson Dory, he has that fire in him, Scatterboo. In the wide receiver. I mean, he has you couldn't have went to a better team with a very, very good roster who competed quite well, I think. And he's going to put the things that he knows. He's a hard-nosed guy. You're going to work hard every day. Every day is a game day. game speed, and I think he'll do very, very well right away in building on some of the competitive games that they had last year. I think that was a very good hire.
That's good. Michael, you ever thought about being a coach? Is that ever kind of like, or you like not getting being stressed out all the time?
You know, I let a lot of young people down by not coaching earlier because I love technique. I love fundamentals. I love X's and O's. I volunteer coach over at Lips for my son. He started playing fifth grade football last year. He's played sixth grade this year. So I'm going up to – I'm doing a decent job. They want me to keep going up. So, but I think it's because I'm volunteering and they don't have to pay me anything. I think I can get it through the young people. I love teaching the kids, man, and it's a art behind coaching. I think you have to be humble. You have to be a teacher. You have to be cultural so you can, you know, talk the language of different people. I don't care what age it is. You know, you have to come down and meet those men or kids where they are. And so many of the coaches now, you know, since I was coming up or – you got, you know, football is football and it doesn't change. You know, the people, the coaches who fail are the coaches who try to get arrogant and try to do their own thing and they get too smart and I'm smarter than you. And you keep it simple, physical, in shape, fundamentals, technique, and you can win at any level.
Michael Orr is with us, the Orr Foundation. You can learn more at orrfoundation.org. Michael, always love the talks. We're here anytime we can help push something that you all are doing, but we'll definitely do it again soon.
Excellent. I look forward to it. Give me a call. You know, when training camp gets here, you guys want to talk football, we'll hop on, man, and you know, I love it.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for having me, as always.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Orr joining us here.
I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Well, joining us here on the show, the Orr Foundation, all the great work he does, and he loves football too, so it's fun to talk some ball with him.
I was going to ask him if Derek Mason ever yelled at him.
I know. Well, see, I always forget that they played together for a couple of years
in
Baltimore. Derek's last 2 years there, and then obviously Michael, and I forget that he played in two Super Bowls. He won one with Baltimore and then lost to Peyton with the Panthers.
I wonder where he was when Cam Newton fumbled that ball.
I don't know. We'll have to ask him next time. It'd be fun to bring him down here and do an hour with him. So we'll do that. We'll react to that and much more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe live in the Omni, 102.5 The Game.